Thank you so much for, again, having me and the opportunity to be able to share with you this morning. If you want to open up your Bibles with me, please, to we're going to read from Colossians 3 this morning, 12 through 17. And our text this morning is going to be Ephesians 5, 20. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Everybody there? I can't hear the iPads turning, so I'm just assuming that everybody's there. Starting in verse 12, Colossians 3, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." And that is a reading of the inerrant Word of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for Your grace. We thank You for Your love and Your kindness, Your mercy that You show to us every day. Father, our praises go up to You this morning. Our time of worshiping You in song, Lord, I pray was a sweet aroma to You. And Lord, I just ask that You would soften our hearts this morning, prepare our minds to study and to learn of You, to learn of what it is to be thankful for all things. Because Lord, I think we get caught up in a society where we forget to give thanks. We get caught up in everything that offends us, everything that is against who we are and what we want. And we forget to step back and just be thankful for the little things, because it's those little things many times declares that your presence. So Lord, I just ask for Your blessing upon this time. I ask that You would be with us, and that our hearts are ready this morning to receive Your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning we are continuing on in our look at the results of what it is to be Spirit-filled. And we learned last night, we looked briefly last night, that Paul's encouraging, exhorting the church in Ephesus that they needed to not walk as unwise men, but they were to walk wisely. And they continue to walk wisely. It's nothing that just comes and goes, but it's a striving to walk wisely. And then in verse 18 or verse 17, he says, "Do not be foolish, but understand then what the will of the Lord is." So we're to walk wisely, and as we are walking, we are to understand what the will of the Lord is. And as you read Proverbs, those two statements, you cannot help but get those two statements out of the whole book of Proverbs: walking wisely and understanding the will of the Lord. So then Paul, last night, as we looked at verse 18, he concludes verse 18 with, "But be filled with the Spirit." And then from there, we have three results of what it is to be filled with the Spirit. And the first one was not moving mountains. It wasn't having some great spiritual experience. It was, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So it's a heart praise. It's a heart thing that we do as we sing praises. Basically what happens is when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we get a new song, the Scripture says. And we sing it loud and we praise God for it. But the second thing that Paul gets into here is verse 20. Always giving thanks for the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the direction we're going to be looking at briefly this morning. And I don't. How much time do I? Who do I look for time?
You're good.
You got all the time. That's all I need to hear. Okay. So this morning we are going to cover the next statement describing the outcome and characteristics of what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So like I said, last night we looked at the first, which was speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The parallel verse of this is exactly what we read for our scripture reading was Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Thanksgiving to God should encompass all things that come into our lifespan. And when believers are filled by the Spirit, this will be their response instead of dissatisfaction and complaints. Because that is an area that I think that as American people, as Westerners, we struggle a lot with. We struggle a lot with dissatisfaction, and we struggle a lot with complaining. And all things, when Paul is talking about giving thanks for all things, it means all things that come into our life. Now, I'm going to throw out a disclaimer here in a minute, but I just wanted to hit address on that in my opening statement to you, is to get you thinking that way, is how often are you thankful for all things, or do you find yourself throughout life, for the most part, more dissatisfied and find yourself complaining more? Maybe there's a lack of joy. Maybe there's fear. Maybe there's a lot of things that transpire in your life, that happen in your life that is not significant or is not reflective of giving thanks. Because as I will point out and as I'll, my argument to you this morning is going to be this, is that if you're not giving thanks to the Lord for all things, I will almost guarantee you that you're not a joyful Christian, that you are fearful, you're afraid, you complain, and you're just dissatisfied if you're not giving thanks to the Lord for the things that come into your life. And so this morning, that's the direction we're going. R.C. Sproul said this concerning giving thanks for all things or for everything. He says, "For everything or for all things must be interpreted consistent with the last clause in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If the meaning of the term for everything is devoid of reference to God's character, purpose, and nature, grave distortions can occur. Some, in a literal zeal, actually thank God for things He despises. This faulty thinking drives some to the conclusion that they must thank God for the very evil He hates." End quote. So what R.C. is talking about there is that we dare not think or thank God for the evil consequences of sinful actions. That's not what Paul's talking about. We don't praise God and thank Him for the evil actions that have taken place in our life and the evil consequences that has happened in there. That is not things that we thank God for. What we praise God for is being God in the midst of those terrible things. That even in the darkest hour, He brings what? Light. That's what we thank God for. And that's what we praise God for. And that is where I believe a lot of Christians find themselves not giving thanks in those times. Because it is those times that God is there and our eyes are just shut to it. Our ears are just closed to it. And our hearts are not open to it. So, giving thanks to God must be consistent with His character and redeeming purposes. With this in mind, I would like to share with you this morning what it means for the believer to give thanks for all things. First of all, giving thanks for all things is a necessity for the believer. Some people are not thankful because they simply believe that they deserve every good thing that they have and more. Aren't we in that society today? Is that I deserve this? It's due to me. I've earned this, or maybe I haven't even earned it. I just want it. For instance, I can think of the rich farmer in Luke 12, verses 19 through 21, is a good example. The farmer did not take God in consideration for everything that he had acquired, and he gave no credit for God's blessing. And because of his thankless presumption, God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?" Thanklessness. Not thankful, not grateful. Not giving thanks for all things. Notice that God calls this man a fool. A fool. The farmer seemed to think that he had no need of God whatsoever, that he himself was in control of his life, soul, and body, and that he was the master of his fate and he was the captain of his soul. But God calls him a fool because he had no idea of where everything had come from and the blessings that had transpired in his life. And giving thanks for all things. He should have reminded himself of the words found in Psalm 39. If you want to turn with me there. Psalm 39. Starting in verse 4. Psalm 39, starting in verse 4, says, "Lord, make me know my end and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as hand's breadth, and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of what? A foolishness." So when we are not thinking of who God is and what God has done and giving thanks to Him for all things, that He is in the midst of everything, then He says, don't be foolish. The psalmist is writing, look at these people, look what's happening here. They have nothing of their days. They know not their days. Do we know our days? No, we don't, do we? And we need to be understanding of that. And that's where it takes us back to Ephesians 5, 15 and 18. Walk wisely and understand what the will of the Lord is. You have a responsibility. This, I often say at Lake City Bible Church that having this in your car or on your nightstand is not just going to magically, through osmosis, because it's there, get into your brain. And when you're driving along in an interstate, having your Bible in your back seat isn't going to do any good for you. Just having it around isn't no good. It might as well just be another book. But where the good comes is where you go to understand His will and you open it up and you begin reading it. You begin applying the things that He commands. Loving His nature. Loving His character. Understanding what He has done for your soul. And that is where we understand that. We grasp that. And we apply that to our lives. And then pretty soon we're giving thanks for all things. Because we know where all things come from. So, remember what in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 states, "Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be what? Added unto you." A truly thankful person can be compared to the one leper out of the 10 that came back to thank Jesus when he was healed, and he fell on his face before Jesus and he gave Him thanks. Remember this story in Luke chapter 17? Jesus is coming into town. There's 10 lepers. There's lepers on the side, and they're saying, "Heal us, heal us." And Jesus Christ heals them. He shows them grace and He shows them mercy. And all of them turn away and go, except for one. And the one turns back, and Jesus says, "Where's the other nine?" And the other one fell on his face, bowed down, and gave thanks and worshiped Christ. You see, Aziz sings that as believers, we should be overflowing with thanksgiving and gratitude. And gratitude is that which completes this. When we are giving thanksgiving, it really what it does, this gratitude of understanding and being thankful, is the completion of what's going on in our lives. So as God is blessing us, as God is blessing our lives, and we are giving thanksgiving for it. And it's not that, it's not a twofold thing. It's like, all right, we received blessing, now I got to give thanks so I receive more blessing. That's not how it works. But when we understand where God's blessing is coming from and that He's blessing us, and we in turn are gracious and we are thankful for what He's doing in our life, it completes the circle. So it comes around and we understand that. And that does something for our soul, and I'll explain that here in a minute. But blessing comes down to the hearts and lives of God's children. And as God's children, we offer up unending, loving, and spontaneous adoration and gratitude. So let me ask you a couple questions. My first question is, are you a worrier? You don't have to answer this. Okay? Are you a worrier? Yeah, I don't care, I am. Okay. Are you a complainer? Do you lack courage? Do you lack joy?
Yes.
You're not going to like what I have to say next. And I'm so sorry. But, you see, when we struggle with these things, when we worry all the time, when we complain and lack courage and lack joy, it really shows us that we are not giving thanks for what actually God is doing in our lives. So, giving thanks for all things creates something within us. And what it creates in us is all of a sudden, as you're giving thanks for all things, the blessings come down, as you know, and we with thankfulness, we're thankful for what God is doing. When we have the mindset of giving thanks and understanding that God is in all things, pretty soon our worries tend to disappear, don't they? Yeah, when you know that God's in control and that He is doing all things, our worries tend to disappear. Complaints tend to vanish. Courage to face the future is increased. And peace and joy is experienced. And in the middle of it, God is glorified. So it's this process of understanding that as you are giving thanks, as Paul says, always give thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So it's in all things that we give thanks. And when we are reluctant to give thanks because we think that we have not been treated fairly, guess what? You're not going to experience any joy. You're not going to have any satisfaction. You're not going to have any contentment in your life. And you're going to eventually end up like those, like I many times have stated in Lake City, is those Christians that look like they've been sucking on a lemon their whole life. And you don't want that. You don't want that. You want to be solid in the Word of God. You want to be solid in knowing that He's in control. You want to be solid, like we heard last night in the story of Corrie Ten Boom. Yes, she had life experiences and there were things that she forgot, but she kept on track. And she understood and she was reminded time and time again of how God was in control of her life, even in the small things. So when are we to be thankful? Well, the text tells us. Paul tells us, always. Always. Not just some of the time. Not just when you feel like it. Not just when you wake up on the right side of the bed. But always. To be thankful always is to recognize God's control of our lives in every detail as He seeks to conform us to the image of His Son. To be thankless is to disregard God's control. To be thankless is to disregard Christ's Lordship. To be thankless is to disregard the Holy Spirit's prompting within your life. So that's the opposite of being thankful. When you are thankless, Those are the things that transpire in your life. You disregard God's control. You disregard Christ's lordship and the power of and the prompting of the Holy Spirit within your life. Nothing must grieve. Think about this for a minute. Nothing must grieve the Holy Spirit more than to have a believer who never gives thanks. Isn't that a true statement? Of course it is. It's a true statement. We are to be thankful because we are blessed. When things are going well or God grants benefits in our lives, we are happy and grateful. It's easy to be thankful when things are going well. And in these times, we must give thanks. I'm not saying that when times are going really well and God is blessing you, that you should just hush up and go, man, I better not say nothing about this because this may end. No, give thanks. Praise God for it. Understand that God is blessing you and rejoice in it. But being only thankful when things are going well requires little faith. Little faith. Now think about that for a minute. When is the last time you thanked God in the midst of a trial? When is the last time you thanked God for the next time possibly a trial might come? Or do you find yourself only thanking God for when things are good? And I would say to you, that requires very little faith. But being thankful only when things are going well requires little faith, and it reveals little maturity. We are to be thankful when blessings or victories are yet to come. Being thankful when we are blessed is really after the fact. It's after you've been blessed that you've been thankful. What happens before? What are you doing then? Are you just have your hands out and saying, give me, give me, give me? No. These are the things that you must think about and contemplate and understand. Being thankful for blessings or victories yet to come is more difficult. And it requires more faith. It requires more spiritual maturity. And how do you get more faith? How do you get more spiritual maturity? Well, Paul's already told us that in Ephesians 5, 15 and 17. Walk wisely. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand who He is. Understand His character, His nature, who He is, what He has done throughout all of the Old Testament into the New Testament, the covenants that He's laid out, how Christ came in just the right time for your soul and died on the cross for you and redeemed you for a purpose. To glorify His Heavenly Father and to bless your life. And He's given us promises within that. These are things that we must know. This is where faith and hope begins, is when we understand that life does throw us the infinite curveball. Right? We've all been hit by curveballs before in life. I guarantee you that life is going to get at you. The curveball's coming. And you're going to swing and swing and swing, and you're going to miss it every time. It's going to fool you. It's going to drop out right in front of you. And it's going to be there. And how are you going to handle it? How are you going to walk through it? Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, I won't go there because of time, but if you're taking notes, you can write that down. He praised God and sent singers out before the victories ever even won. Before he ever went to battle, didn't he? He praised God and glorified God before he ever sent troops out to battle. Why? Because he knew victory was his in God. Amen. That should be our mindset. Knowing that victory is yours. And yes, it may be a struggle. Yes, it might be hard. Yes, it may be challenging for you. And you may not even know how to deal with it. But as we learned last night from our story, sometimes the bags are heavy, aren't they? And sometimes we just need to grow a little bit so that we can move that bag and we can understand it a little bit better. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. This is a very, you probably all are very familiar with this text, but I want to read it to you anyhow. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all the day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And after that you should be going, amen and amen again. Because that is a very powerful message, that there is nothing created in this world, that can separate you from the love of Christ. And to know that He asks you to walk wisely and to understand His will and to live by the power of the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in that, you are to sing spiritual songs and hymns to your brothers and sisters in the Lord as you praise and glorify the Lord. And now we are to give thanks in everything. This is what it means to walk and to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And these are crucial. This is crucial to the text that comes after that concerning husbands and wives. Because if you do not understand verses 19, 20, and 21 in your husband and in your wifely relationships, you will not get 22 through 6, 9. You will not get it. It will seem foreign to you. You will not be able to put the puzzle together. So these are crucial that we understand these things. That we understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit. So while we are still undergoing trouble and testing, and even when it looks like we are falling or being overwhelmed, we are to cry out to God and be thankful. Even when Daniel knew the document was signed and no one may petition to any other god or man besides the king, he thanked God. Because God deserved His thanks regardless of the circumstances. If we can only thank God when things are going well, our thankfulness is really at the bottom rung of the faithfulness ladder. To thank God in anticipation of what He will do in the future, we show more spiritual maturity. But to thank God while we are in the midst of pain, trials, and persecution shows a level of maturity that few Christians seem to know, but that our Heavenly Father wants all His children to have. For we are to give thanks for all things, everything. The greatest gift we can give to God is a thankful heart, because all we can give to Him is simply grateful recognition everything that we have is from Him. We give thanks for all things because He has given us all things, and because we give thanks in everything, everything is God's will in Christ Jesus. The Spirit-filled heart sees God's gracious hand in every circumstance and knows that God causes all things. And I thought about this last night, again, through our story. It just so tied in to what I was talking about this morning. That God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And the first thing that came to my mind was the fleas. The fleas. All things. All things work for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. The fleas had a purpose, didn't they? But at the time, did she realize why the fleas were there? Absolutely not. She complained, didn't she? But it was her sister that had a reminder, right? And it was just a short verse, give thanks, out of 1 Thessalonians. And it wasn't until, this is what we have to remember. This is my encouragement to you, is this. You may not understand completely what's going on, why it's happening, and what's transpiring in this storm of a life that you might find yourself in sometime or even maybe now. But if you keep this verse in mind, if you keep God's promises in mind, I guarantee you, you will look back and God will bring it through in such a way that you'll look back and say, now I know why the fleas were there. Amen. Why? Because of Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to my purpose? No. His purpose. See, sometimes we get the pronouns mixed up, don't we? We put my in there. We're more self-centered than God-centered. It's according to His purpose. That should be our focus, His purpose. So we give thanks to God, just as Job did. We thank God for people who has been placed in our lives. We thank the Lord, even when dearly loved ones have passed on. And remember what Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank God for a job, even if it is demanding and unfulfilling. We should be thanking God for that job. We should thank God for where we live and the homes that we have, even if it is not your ideal place or your ideal home. We thank God for the people He has placed in our lives, even if you have one or two that kind of just grate under your skin. We thank God for those. The ultimate goal is God's glory. To glorify God is to thank Him no matter how much we may hurt or be disappointed or fail to understand. As God's children, we are to be thankful first of all for our Lord Himself, for His goodness, His love, His grace, His salvation, and every other blessing He gives. We are to be thankful for all men, for blessings and difficulties, for victories and defeats. The only person who can genuinely give thanks is the humble person who knows and understands he deserves nothing and who therefore gives thanks even for the smallest of things. A prideful person cannot genuinely give thanks because they believe that they somehow deserve something better. Paul, in spite of his chains, gave thanks to God. He is able to take pleasure. I mean, you read through Paul's life and understand that even in these times, he was, in spite of his chains, he gave thanks to God, and he was able to take pleasure in his weakness, in his injuries, his hardship, his frustrations, again and again during his imprisonment. Paul thanked God and exhorts those whom he addressed to be thankful also. The thanks we give always for all things and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ are given to God the Father. We thank our Heavenly Father just as our Lord Jesus did Himself, the giver of every good thing bestowed upon man and every perfect gift. The mark of an unsaved person is thanklessness to God, but the mark of a Spirit-filled believer is always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the Father. This morning, I'd like to close with one statement by John Gill. Every once in a while, I enjoy opening up John Gill. I mean, you don't see it on bookshelves very often anymore, but every once in a while, I open it up and see what old John had to say about a certain passage. And I found this in John Gill's commentary on this passage, and he stated this. He says, for things temporal, these are things that we are to give thanks for, and this is what John Gill wrote down. John Gill stated this concerning giving thanks for all things. He stated, I quote, for things temporal, for our beings and the preservation of them, and for the mercies of life, for things spiritual, for Christ, and for all spiritual blessings in Him. For electing, redeeming, sanctifying, adopting, pardoning, and justifying grace. For suitableness for heaven. I thought that was pretty impressive. To give thanks for to make us suitable for heaven. And for eternal life itself. For the gospel, promises, truths, ordinances, and ministries. And this is to be done always, at all times, in times of adversity, desertion, temptation, affliction, and persecution, as well as in prosperity. For all the mercies of God's people, both temporal and spiritual, come through Him and for His sake, and the thanksgiving for them are only acceptable to God as they are offered up by Him, nor is there any other way of bringing them to God but through Him. End quote. So this morning, as you leave and as you contemplate these things, this is truly what it means to be Spirit-filled. These are the results of, again, verse 19. He did not give you the ability right out the get-go to be able to move mountains. That's not what Paul says. He says, sing praises to your God. Sing in a joyous way. And then we learn today, always, always give thanks. Even in the little things. Give thanks for the things that have the blessings that already come. Yes, absolutely. You praise God. You give Him thanks for the things that He's blessed you with that you know right now. But don't forget to give Him thanks for the trials that are coming. And to praise Him and seek Him out and give Him thanks for the things that you're going through right now. Because all things work together for good to those who love God. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for Your omniscience, Your omnipresence, Your omnipotence. It's everything about You, Lord. You've not left one stone unturned. You know exactly what's transpiring in our lives. You know exactly what's going to transpire in our lives. And Lord, I would just ask that You would help us to understand that You are in control. You're sovereign. Help us to be, as Paul is referred to in this great book of Ephesians, that we are called Your beloved children. So as Your beloved children, Lord, help us to remember that You are our Heavenly Father. And that You will never leave us nor forsake us. Everything that comes to us is through You and by Your agreement. Everything that transpires is to create in us a heart and a soul that is being prepared for heaven. So Lord, I pray that we would have, that we would be willing souls, and that we would work at understanding what it means to give thanks for all things, that our lives would be transformed by it, our worries would begin to float away, our joys would become more joyful, our fears would begin to fade away also, because we know ultimately, Lord, You are in control. Thank You so much for this time. It's in Christ's name we pray, and for His sake, amen.